Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Our passage this morning is only found in John's Gospel. It is not in the other three Gospels. Some of these things, John being close to Jesus, being in the inner circle, allowed him to see and to hear and to gather in certain things that the other gospel writers did not have the privilege firsthand of observing. That, coupled with the fact that John wrote this gospel late in his life. He would likely have been in his 80s or 90s, perhaps, when he wrote this gospel. So his would have been both a first-hand account, but also a, if I can say, a reminiscent account. He has as his singular theme, believe. And he presses that all throughout the gospel, sharing with the reader multiple reasons why we should believe. But he also shows us the, and in this passage and in a couple of others, the depth of Jesus' relationship with those that he taught. Our passage this morning is rather lengthy, and we're not going to be able to read the whole thing through, and I always regret that because it is the Word that changes our lives. I will be bringing out many passages as we move through the message this morning, but I would encourage you to read the entire passage from verse number 16 through verse number 71. I say that because it needs to be digested as a whole. We're going to divide it into three parts because there are three different audiences here. The first audience will be the individuals that Jesus fed on the mountainside. It's quite interesting because these individuals followed him. He slipped away from them after he fed them. He sent the disciples onto the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. And Jesus remained on a mountaintop there and prayed. And then, as some of the other gospels relate, Jesus then, in the middle watches of the night, walked across the Sea of Galilee and caught up to the disciples, kind of a hair-raising event. And they finally realized that it was him and invited him into the boat. But the thing was, the people who had been fed, that 5,000 men, they were still over on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And they saw the disciples get into the boat, but they didn't see Jesus get in the boat. So they were hanging out, waiting for him. Well, then, all of a sudden, somebody says, well, he's no longer here. And they realized that no other boat, but they couldn't put all the pieces together. But they immediately got a hold of some boats and made their way then across the Sea of Galilee to the west side, to around Capernaum, to find Jesus. So that's kind of the context, if you will, and the beginnings of this message in this text this morning. But I want to read just at the beginning of it. It says, they found him on the other side of the lake. And they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Amen. Jesus begins here in this passage encouraging them to work, to labor for food that will endure. Now remember, again, this is the crowd that received the bread and the fish on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles across. Doesn't seem like all that much today with our motorboats and things. You would cross it just like this. But for guys that are rowing, or depending upon the wind, it would have been a different ball game. They worked through the night. These people made their way there. We don't have a specific time of day or anything that this occurred, but it says they found him. When they found him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus calls them on their pursuit of him. Verse 26. Look at it again. I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. We were talking back in chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 6. We were talking about those who were chasing Jesus for miracles. In this, he takes it even to a different level of those who were chasing him so that they could get some food. What we need to understand, you know, saying, oh, 5,000 men, you know, 5,000 men plus women and children, all these people were flocking to Jesus. They were flocking to Jesus for what they could get. Boy, I'm glad that never happens anymore. Once again, I tell you the truth. He says, you know, this is that verily, verily stuff, you know, where he is saying, this is an absolute. I know your heart. You're only seeking me so that I'll feed you some more free bread. What an indictment. I almost said this. I almost said it sounds like Donald Trump, but I can't even make the connection there. I'm sorry. The question shifts immediately. They said, what must we do to do the work God requires? In other words, Jesus has just nailed them to the wall for what they are. He's just come out very plain. You're only here because you want me to give you some bread. And so they say, well then, what is it that we need to do in order to be what you want us to be? What do we need to do that we can please God the Father? And his response to them is quite simple. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. You know, folks, we make all of this incredibly complicated. Sorry. That's all I can say. Sorry. You know, like everyone else, the work that I am called to do is to rightly divide the word of truth. It is to prepare the saints to do the work of the ministry. And all of that is important, and all of that is the work that I am called to do. And yet, when you come to the bare bones of this whole situation, it boils down to this. The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. To have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the premier question that you need to answer this morning. At the beginning of this message, at the end of this message, it's the only question that really stands. Do you believe in the one that the Father sent into this world? Do you believe in Jesus? Not, does he heal? Does he fill with the Holy Spirit? Does he do this? Does he keep us? Does all those things are important. They're all peripheral, and they at different times in our lives have great value to us. But the real standard, the thing that everything is hung on, do you believe in Jesus? Let me tell you something. It is the one thing that the enemy is attacking more than anything else in the day that we're living. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few moments. In verse number 30, the people express their lack of belief. Look at it with me. So they ask him, "What miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" And then they describe to him the basis upon which they stand. "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." You know, he says you must believe on the one that the Father sent. They said, "Okay, prove that you're the one the Father sent." Now again, folks, these are the people that ate from five loaves and a few small fish. How many would agree with me this morning that should kind of rattle your chain a little bit to say, "Oh, that doesn't happen every day." But for whatever reason, whoosh, it went right over their heads. They ate until they were satisfied. They left that mountainside realizing that Jesus was the one who had fed them, and yet they did not see him as the Son of God, even though he did that incredible miracle. And you know, the essence of the truth is that no matter what miracle that he brought forth, they would still have to decide whether they believed or they didn't believe. You know, it's still a temptation today. "Jesus, I will believe if you will fill in the blank. If you will just help me in this situation, then I'll believe." Oh my goodness, 44 years that I have been preaching, the number of people that I have had stand face to face with me and tell me that they told God, you know, "God, if you will do this, then I will believe." It's a temptation every single one of us face. "I'll believe you're real. I'll believe you're powerful. I'll believe you're the healer. If you will just do this for me." Can I tell you this morning that you will not find faith on the other side of the miraculous? You will find faith as you believe. "What miraculous sign will you give?" Jesus said, "You're looking at it." There need not be any other sign but the fact that God sent his Son into the world for sinners like us. Jesus declares. Well, they're looking for more manna. They're wanting another Moses event, as they called it. Jesus said, "Let's set the record straight. Moses did not give you manna in the wilderness. My Father gave you manna, and my Father has given you me." And that's where he says, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life for the world. Sir, from now on, give us this bread." They're still thinking in the physical. They're still thinking in what they can see with their eyes. And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." I can tell you today, I'm not there, but I can tell you today, based upon relationship with people, they missed the mark. When Jesus made that correlation, "My Father is the one who sent the manna that your forefathers ate off of the ground, and he's the same one that has sent me into the world. I am the bread of life." They missed it completely. They're still trying to physically think about bread. It's kind of like many of us in the middle of a sermon, and you start thinking about lunch. It's It's really hard to concentrate. You'll steer your mind back, but then your mind goes wandering off, especially if you have something on the stove cooking. Or if you've got the grill just sitting there ready to fire up, waiting for the after lunch. Or maybe you know where you're going to go eat lunch. And so you're thinking about their menu. Come on, I've sat there enough times. I know. You can't fool me. I know. And so you're sitting there thinking, you ladies, maybe you're putting together, let's see, what am I going to have with that? I got the this or the that inside the crock pot, and what am I going to put with it? I've got some carrots, I've got some beans. Let me see, what can I warm up? What can I make for my family? And the guys are sitting there thinking, boy, I hope she comes up with something good. So we understand the whole thing of going to the food part. Problem was, Jesus was talking about life, real life, real food. And you know, many times we can't make that leap to the food that endures. When we talk about struggle and pain, and difficulties as being part of the Christian life. Whoa. Now I'm in this for the joy and the peace. Huh? And the forgiveness. And then those streets of gold and the mansion on the hilltop. Come on. And you start talking to people about trials and struggles being a part of the Christian life and being an intricate part of the development of any believer. It's like, whoa. Hello? But see, you've got two veins running here. You've got the physical and you've got the spiritual. These folks were stuck in the physical. All they could think about was physical bread. Jesus wanted to be the spiritual bread because that's what manna was. It was God's provision for his people. Yes, they could grind it up, they could bake it, and they could make little cakes out of it. But the fact was, it was the presence of God's provision that was there every single morning awaiting them because of his love and relationship with them. Did you know that the Lord Jesus is waiting every single morning as bread from heaven for you and for me? He is the I am, the what we need for every single day of our lives. You say, well, you know, I don't have any problems when I get up and I pray and I really feel something, you know, and it's, woo, wow, I love that. But you know, in those times when it's dry, I it's not about our feelings. It's about who he is. He is the I am, the what you need, what I need, the bread from heaven that we need for that day. He is like manna on the ground for us. Now see, the people of Israel, if they wanted the feast that God had prepared for them, they had to go out and collect the manna. And then they could make it into something, or they could just eat it as it was. But they had to go out and collect it. And he said, don't go out trying to collect enough for tomorrow, because tomorrow I will be your provision for that day. You see, Jesus wants to be the bread of life for today. If there's anything that I am learning as I progress personally in this spiritual thing, it is the understanding that the Lord wants to be the bread of our lives for today. We want to start thinking about, well, tomorrow and the next day and the next day. What's it going to be like next year? What's it going to be like 2 years from now? Well, you know, but Lord, what's going to be my situation? I need to know right now. And the heavens are deaf. It's because the Lord Jesus wants to be the manna for your life for that day. He told the people of Israel, he said, if you collect more than a day's portion for your family, it will rot on you. And boy, that is true. If you and I try to collect tomorrow's Jesus, we think, well, you know what? I got more time today. This is a holiday, so I'm going to spend more time with the Lord because I know that my week is going to be really busy. So I'm just going to store up today or tomorrow. I'm going to spend a whole lot of time with the Lord, and then I don't have to worry about it the rest of the week. You will find that your manna reeks because he is a today Jesus. He's a right now Jesus. He is not the I was or the I will be, but the I am. You see, when we get that straight, when we get a hold of it and we get it down inside of our spirit, then we begin to feast on food that endures. When we think we're going to sidetrack his way on this thing, that we can collect for tomorrow, we can store up, we can do this, we can do that. You know, I've had people come to me when I talk about getting with the Lord in the morning, and they say, well, you know, Pastor, that's not me. I like to do it later on in the day. I always try to set aside some time. I like to do it late at night. Well, you know, that's really between you and the Lord, but it's wrong. Let me tell you why. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see, what we want to do if we shove this on to late in the day, and I've been there, so I'm not rebuking, I'm just talking to you. You shove it on to the next day, well, what are you doing? You're praying over tomorrow's. You're praying over tomorrow. And you're in essence saying, Lord, will you be? And he says, I am. He said, but oh, it's going to inconvenience me so much. It's going to mess with me so much for me to get up and to start my day in that way. Oh, yes, it will. Collecting manna from the ground is a nuisance. Having to go out and gather up what you need for your family and for your own life for a particular day. It's troublesome. But it's the bread from heaven. And see, for us to get this inside of us and become aware of this, to say, okay, it's not that I can't do this later. It's what I need for my now, for my day. For what my family needs, for those that are looking for me, looking toward me for prayer over their needs. They need the today Jesus. You know, I'm sure when these folks brought up the manna, Jesus was really quite glad. It's all right, good, I can hang on to that because I was that manna. I was that provision. And he is that provision today, folks. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. And because these folks were steeped in the physical, they're going, wow, wow, we can come to him and he's going to feed us forever. If I said to you this morning, one lucky person in here, underneath your seat, there's a tag underneath your seat. If you pull it out, you reach. There's a tag underneath somebody's seat here this morning, and from here on, we're gonna provide food for you. You're never gonna have to worry about another meal. We're gonna feed you from this point forward. Man, I'd have you on your knees in a moment. Right? Come, feast on Jesus. He will be everything you need for your entire life. But will he keep me from sickness? No, I'm sorry, he won't. Well then, what's the benefit? You will never be alone. You never have to wonder about your life because he will have your life in his hands and control. It will only be when you take it back from him, when you take the control back from him, that you will be wringing your hands. I do that sometimes. And then I have to get alone. I have to get aside with the Lord and realize who's in charge. It's not me. It's the manna. The I am, the bread of life. Oh. He says, verse 36, but as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So what Jesus has just done there, he said, I will be your bread today. I will be your provision today. And just so that you know, we've got it all under control, all the way out into your eternity, I will be yours. And I'll take care of you. That's what he spoke to the multitude that he fed. The second portion of this, Jesus moved from that multitude into the synagogue and began to speak to the Jewish people. In verse number 41, he says that this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Verse 43, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, verily, verily, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Follow on, verse 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Jesus steps out of the normal. And he did it on purpose to shake them up. They saw a path to believe that was unreal. And so Jesus took hold of their fantasy and he pushed it back at them. This is a riddle or a parable to cause the listener or reader to inquire further. You either are drawn into this or you are repulsed by it. I'm certain that even as I read it, some of you inside are kind of like, whoa, what is this about? He says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. There is either an embracing of this in its reality, or there is a repulsiveness to it. You can't stand in the middle. If you are invited to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a radical truth. But what was he doing here? He was pushing them. He was pushing them to a point of decision of whether they would believe or not believe. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, the spiritual application of eating his flesh and drinking his blood is all over you. I want all of him. I want everything that Jesus has to give me of himself. When you begin to develop a relationship with Christ, you will hunger like you have never hungered before. Now, I know what it is to be hungry because I've gone at least 2 or 3 hours on occasions without eating. But I'm talking about a hunger, a groaning within you that is unlike anything. You can sit down to a banquet and eat all that you want and still have the hunger for the Lord Jesus. This hunger can overtake you in the middle of the night. This hunger can overtake you in the middle of the day. This hunger can reach out and grab you right in Walmart. A song plays, something is said, and all of a sudden your hunger for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ just washes over you and overtakes you. Now again, you see, this is a separator because those who do not believe are repulsed by the possibility of partaking, eating of the Lord Jesus. Those who believe and are in a loving and longing relationship with him understand it, not just in their minds, but they understand it in their hearts. Even I would say they understand it in their belly. They understand it from deep down inside, a longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only be paralleled by hunger. Some have taken this and run with it as being a precursor to communion, the Holy Communion. Whether it is or not, I don't know. Because the fact is, what Jesus was doing on this day with those Jewish individuals, he was repulsing them. You say, well, doesn't Jesus want everybody to come? No, he began with this whole discourse to these Jewish people by saying, look, you don't get to an understanding of who I am on your own. The Father draws you. You cannot get to Jesus from your flesh. You can read about him. You can jump through hoops and over hurdles and you'll never get to him. Faith comes as the Father releases an understanding, an awareness. He opens the door in our lives. He's the one that draws us. His Holy Spirit draws us. Someone asked, and it's always a question that's asked over and over again, you know, how do you commit the unpardonable sin? You commit the unpardonable sin when the Holy Spirit of God, who draws us into the presence of the Lord, is so quenched, is so shut down, when you say no to Him and you push Him away over and over and over again until His voice, until His drawing no longer pulls you toward Jesus. And when that happens, He says there's no way to get back. If you shut off the one voice that will bring you into the presence of the Lord, will bring you to the place where you will feast upon the Lord Jesus, when you cut that off, you no longer have access. Because you see, it is not God that cuts us off. It is we who cut ourselves off. He's very willing. You know, it is a dangerous thing, church, for us to hear the Word of God. Because if we hear the Word of God and we do not act upon the Word of God, then we are quenching the Spirit of God. And the more numb that we become, the more able that we are to shut out the voice of the Spirit in our lives, the more dangerous it is to us, because we need the drawing of the Lord to find Jesus. And Jesus, who is fully aware of that, just laid it out on the table. See, we're not far from this, even in our day. You say to somebody, you need the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away. Blood? Blood of a guy that died 2,000 years ago? His blood's going to cover over my life? Oh, you know, I go to church. We don't talk about blood in our church. Let me tell you something. We talk about blood in our church. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. I need the ugliness, the gruesomeness, the horror of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ pouring over my life. You see, here's the truth. If these things repulse you, if you are pushed away from them, Pastor, let's just talk about the love. Let's just talk about how much He loves us. Let's just talk about how much peace that we can have as we walk in Jesus. Let's talk about the joy. Talk about what great relationships we can have. But I'm kind of put off if you start talking about blood and all of this and eating the body of Jesus. My statement to you is this: you're not far from these Jews that He was talking to. And the same thing is true today. You and I, we have got to decide whether we will go after, forgive this, but truth, a bloody Jesus. You see, when we go into the throne room, as you look in the book of Revelation, as we are called into the throne room at the end of this whole journey, the one who will come before us will be a lamb as been slain. He will present Himself to us, not as the beautiful Jesus, but as a lamb that has been slaughtered. Why? Because that's the reason we're going to be in heaven. Not because we're good, not because we're good looking. Thank goodness. We've got a chance, Greg. Only those with hair. You understand what I'm saying? We need the sacrifice of Jesus. See, this is the reason why the Apostle Paul said, I glory in the cross. You what? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by grace, in the Son of God who gave his life for me. You see, every day, it's not too much trouble for me to get up and to pull the manna from the ground and to lift up the name of Jesus and to talk to him for a few minutes as I begin a day. Why? Because he was crucified for me. He bled and died for me. And one of these days, I'm going to stand in his glorious presence in heaven. If I have not been repulsed by the ugliness of this, but rather I lean in to the cross of Christ. I lean and I say, pour your blood over my life. As gruesome as it could be, Lord, pour your blood over my life so that when the Father, when the judge of all mankind looks upon me, he sees the purity that comes. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus is imputed to me. My sin on him, his righteousness on me. It's the only thing that makes us worthy. Jesus, on that day, was trying to divide the people. One of the other Gospels makes the statement of Jesus. He said, I've not come to bring peace to the world. I've come to bring division. It will come between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters. Why? Because some will believe and some will not. You know, we can play a marvelous game called church. It's fun. We can have a great time. We can laugh together. We can sing together. Put up with a little bit of preaching, and we can play the church game. Or we can feast on the bread of heaven. We used to sing an old song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up. There's a line in there, Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. I lift it up. Church, I believe this is the day. This is the day of decision for every single one of us to decide if we will eat this bread and live. You see, my job, my position up here is to just give you the truth for you to decide. You can have the bread of heaven to feast on for all of eternity. Or you can have the bread of this world and have to labor over and over again. Now don't go, you know, again, see, Jesus made that kind of statement and they go, oh, give me some of that bread so I don't ever, never have to work anymore. I can just eat. Sounds like a great gig, doesn't it? Just eat, eat, eat. But he's talking to them about the depth of spiritual life. This is about a relationship with the provision of God. Finally, he talks to his disciples, and I have to be done. Because after he said this, everybody got up and left him. Can you imagine? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Whoa. We're out of here. And they got up and they left him. And if you go on down to verse number 66, on hearing this, many disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? You know, over the course of this last year, we've had individuals, families that have left the church because I offended them in preaching the Word of God. It is never, ever, ever my intent to press and to cause people to leave this church or to leave the church. In conversation with some of these folks that have left, They're going nowhere at this point. And I pray for them and I grieve for them. But some have reached out to embrace the doctrines of this world. And as the Word of God comes and stands against the doctrines of this world, a choice has to be made. And I'll tell you one such thing, and I make no apologies about this because it is God's word. He said, "For this cause a man will leave his father and mother, and the two will become joined together, and the two will be one flesh." I believe in marriage between a man and a woman. Does this offend you? Now, folks, see, we're going berserk. We're going berserk in adding to what we want. We've got to come to the reality. Listen, there is a group called the Yoisms. It is a brand new religion that has been spawned on the internet. Invented by a Massachusetts psychologist, it's based on the open source principle of Wikipedia, that the general public creates a combined creative authority and source of truth. It is constantly evolving with its numerous contributors. It shuns traditional religious authorities and divine inspiration in favor of human wisdom. Some of their saints, Bob Dylan, Albert Einstein, Sigmund Freud, are among its revered saints. And people by the hundreds of thousands are signing up. What offends you about Christian faith? Is it the sin? Is it the guilt? Is it the penalty of death for sin? Is it the preciseness of the Word of God towards certain behaviors in our life? What separates you? The responsibility of every believer to eat the body and blood of Jesus, to so engage in relationship with Him that He becomes the source of our life. Does it offend you today? They left Jesus. The multitude left Him. Many of them would have been in that crowd that said, "Crucify him." Can you believe what he said? But he turned to the 12 and he says, "Do you want to leave too?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." What about you today? Do you believe and know that He is the Holy One of God? Are you pulling and drawing life from Him today? See, the same Holy Spirit that was present on that day is the same Holy Spirit that's present today. The same decisions that they had on that day are the same decisions that we have here today. Does the teaching about Jesus and the teaching from Jesus offend you? Or do you say, "I want to step in. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness because He promised I would be filled." He's ready today. He's willing today. If you are ready to enter into relationship with Him. Again, everybody's welcome in this house, and you can play church as long as you want to play church. You can come and sit and get up and leave, and none of this affects you. Please keep coming, because it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit at some place will speak deeply into your heart and that you will hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus. So keep coming. But if you want Him today, He's here and He's ready.